Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of B Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Amen. So afterwards, when we're done, there's a photo booth. So we want to encourage you, please take photos with the men and the fathers. You're welcome. So do enough of that. And we'll upload, we'll post some. But please, thank you for everyone who prepared that. But please make use of that afterwards. We're not going to be long because I know you've got a roast in the oven and all those sort of things. So let's get into the word. I've got a mirror here today, and I want to speak on this, a reflection of fatherhood, the mirror. And fatherhood, when we speak about fatherhood, I think we cannot speak of, sorry, Riaz, it's shining in your face. I don't know if it's, you may be, there's a light upon him this morning. That's a reflection, but if it's bothering you, must maybe just move a seat. We cannot talk about fatherhood, I think, without talking about image. Image, isn't it? And I'm not talking about the macho man image, you know, that type of image. I'm talking about the image and the likeness that we are created in. That what God has done in us and through us. And because there's an image that you are created in and that you portray. And when we speak about image, we can actually substitute the word for image also with legacy. That's why we wanted to declare over you this morning that you are a legend. Amen? Because you carry a legacy. And right at the beginning of creation, we see it starts with God saying something profound. And you know, we go back to this very often. Genesis 1:27 that says, God created man in his own image. It says, in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Amen? So God has done the pattern. Whenever we find something first, the mention or the law of first mention, and then we follow the pattern, and God says, right at the beginning when he's created, when it comes to us, we are made and formed in his image and his likeness. So you carry the image of God. And we know God is Father, his Son, his Holy Spirit. And as a father, I know that my children, how many of you, especially with Vaughn, say it's a mini-me, you know? It's a good cutout. You know, I know that my children are created in my image and in my likeness. Come on, I do life with them, isn't it? They've got a great sense of humor, smart, good-looking, genuine, perfect image of their father. Come on. Amen. We do life with them, so we know. And my image is my legacy. Your image, fathers, your image is your legacy. That which you, legacy, can we say also, or your image is a reflection. That's why we have this. That's why Riaz is enlightened, because of the lights that's now reflecting upon him. So you're part of the props now this morning by default. But there's a reflection of image. And legacy, if we go in law, legacy is something that someone gets by inheritance. It's by a will. All right, in historical terms, a legacy is something that's handed down from one period of time to another, or one generation to another. Some families pass objects and ideas, treasures, things, but legacy is something similar to inheritance or heritage. But the smaller difference is this, is heritage refers to material things, economical inheritance, where legacy speaks more of immaterial and cultural things. But we carry that, a legacy. And your legacy carries your genes. Your gene, not your genes. Ne? To carry my image means that you carry my characteristics. You carry my name. You look like me. You sound like me. As I grew older and I got a voice, you know, the manly voice, I started some sentence and some things that I speak, I often hear the tone of my father. Because that's same. I don't know if you know this, but if I'm going to make him stand here and we do this, our fingers don't point forward. And I took Vaughn this morning, I say, do this. And his fingers is the same. You know that, I don't know if we call that legacy or something else, but there's something that's carried over in the genes even. All right, you sound like us, we look together, we look alike. And your legacy is something that you leave. You see, we all have a prophetic word, isn't it? You've got a word over your life, and we sometimes focus so much on the word, but your prophecy is that what you aspire to. But your legacy is that what you leave behind. And sometimes we so focus on that what we aspire to, and we forget on that what we need to leave behind. And legacy is this, it's the evidence that I leave in the world that I was here. Come on. And that's what it means to be a father. As a father, it means that you leave somebody, your children, you leave somebody in the earth as a testimony that you were here. That's what's fatherhood. Is you leave a testimony of that you were here. And how you shape that person and how you develop that person, that's the artistry of fatherhood. That's how you do it. That's the finer details. And that's why Jesus is called the Son of God. Because son means what? Son means example of. So when it says Jesus, Son of God, means that Jesus is the perfect example of his father. He was the perfect example. Jesus says this of being an example of the father when we go John 14, verse 9 to 11. This is what Jesus says. He says to Philip, "Have I been with you so long and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves." So Jesus say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know the Father, you will know that I come, I look like him. Come on. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because there's something that carries. Jesus is the perfect image and reflection of the Father. Therefore, seeing and interacting with Jesus, having relationship, the word, all these things, reveals the nature and the character of the Father. You have to spend time there. In other words, whoever has seen Jesus has seen the Father, because that's what he says. Now, the word says children are heritage from the Lord, isn't it? Children are heritage from the Lord. And sometimes when we have conversations as a father to son, and like Hendre, we pray for him. He's in hospital. He had a successful operation yesterday. And Janine is very brave to be here this morning with her daughters. But for instance, with him, he's got three girls. So for me, I've got father to sons conversations with them. And he's got a father-to-daughter conversations with them. But there's moments that you make them see some aspects of yourself in their life. As you grow up, there's things that you unveil of yourself being a father. And you know, as we go, gradually, there's an unveiling of masculinity. There's an unveiling of identity. Because the father helps to launch and secure identity in the boys and the girls. So he helps with that. So he's an example for the girls. He's not just a father, but he's an example of a husband. My boys need to be, I need to be an example of a father, but also of a husband. But then for them is again what they will receive as girls, what a husband should look like. And how many of you know that when you're still young and immature, your baby son, as we say, you don't see up under your skirts. You don't show him your nakedness. Not your physical nakedness, your flaws and your things as a father, isn't it? There's some things that as a young person, immature, they cannot deal with yet. But little by little, you start unveiling who you are as a man, isn't it? And you start showing them, and as they get older, they begin to understand the realities of manhood, and they start understanding things about you that you couldn't tell them when they were young, because it's not time yet. When they're young, you hide that from them in a sense, because they're not ready yet. But as they grow up, ask Noah's sons what happens when you behold the father ahead of time. There's certain things that there's a time. So the gradual unveiling of who you are as a father, as a young man, happens over time. And as you reveal some of you, you and your sons grow in life together. And then they become man. And as he becomes man, what happens? You begin to reveal yourself as a man, so that now he can see his likeness and you can see yours in one another. Isn't it? The more you spend time, does it make sense? The more you spend time together, he starts seeing the likeness. When I was small, my dad was just my hero. But as I grow up, I start, oh, I look like you. I sound like you. I walk like you. I, you know, my voice, when I clear my throat, I do it. This more and more you start seeing actually of one another, each in yourself, in each other. In other words, what there's a reflection or a mirroring, isn't it? There's a reflection. That's why we have this. The reflection of the mirror, I'll get to that. And that's why Jesus says, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Because as a son, he's the exact copy or reflection of a father. So your child starts to reflect you, that image that you portray. And some of us, we like what we see, and some of us, we don't like what we see. Sometimes we saw Vant and Kyla do certain things, and we thought, where on earth did you learn that? Not realizing that it's not what we taught them, it's a reflection. It's what they see. So they become a reflection. And when he's developed, your son or your daughter, but I'm talking about fathers and sons this morning more, he begins to look like you, isn't it? And I want to describe this because sometimes we don't have the opportunity to see this, even as fathers, because not all have fathers with us anymore. Depends on how you grew up. But I want you to see this relationship because not all has an equal opportunity. We know that the world is full of sin and pain and things. And one of the things the enemy wants to steal and destroy is the image of fatherhood. So that we don't have an image or a reflection or a mirroring, so that we can stay confused. So that we don't have an example or mirroring of what we should become. And this is what happens because some of you, your fathers may be, my father's maybe an alcoholic or my father is a druggie. We had people where the father is a cross-dresser, all right? Maybe you didn't have a father at all. Maybe your father has passed away already and maybe your father never came home. Whatever your case is, that doesn't matter. The result or the effect of this is the same for all of us. And this is the thing. The mirror is left without an image. That's the pain. Is that where we should have an image? I don't know if I should turn it or can you see? Or I don't know what to do, how to do it. But when we look at this, there's no mirroring. The mirror is left without an image. And you see, whatever passes by, that reflection will be the image that he sees. Sabrina, kom gij. Ek moet op jou tone loop, nee. Kom nie hierso. You see, so I need to be the father, but now you walk through. You walk by. Can you see her reflection or mine? Hers. Whatever is closest to the mirror, you will see that reflection. Thank you. So the absence of fatherhood makes this, that we're not getting near to the mirror, and whatever gets closest to the mirror will start reflecting whatever is closest to it. And this is what we had. Sometimes we had that there's a mom that's closer to the mirror than a father. And so the mom is the one that's reflected, not the father. Or sometimes in your life, a drug dealer or a businessman or whatever, a gang leader, some, whatever your case may be, that was closer to the mirror than your father. And that is the reflection that you received. If it's inferiority, then it will reflect inferiority. Whatever is closest, it's going to reflect that. And that's why we need a close relationship. Whatever, it will reflect whatever you put in front of the mirror. Come on. And because a son is an example of a reflection, your life reflects your father. That's the meaning of son, is to reflect your father, to reflect off the father. And to be a son is, that image is impressionable, meaning this is that you are vulnerable, you are influenced, you are sensitive by whatever gets closest to you. You're impressionable, you're vulnerable or gullible to that. That's why it says, bad company ruins good morals. Whatever gets closest to you starts reflecting back. And that's why God, we have such a huge responsibility. And not just a responsibility, but fathers, that's why we need to be dedicated and present in the lives of our kids. Come on. Just give one amen, I'll feel better. Thank you. Isn't it? You have to be present there so that they can be a reflection. So that they can reflect the right image of a son and a daughter, that they can understand who we are. Because unfortunately, we reflect what's right in front of us. You had your struggles, but you were reflecting what was in front of you. And just in turn, your kids reflect what's in front of them. And God wants to heal because, as I said, we don't always like that picture. God wants to heal that picture. God wants to touch that picture. God wants to change that picture. And it goes for all of us. Because you become what you behold. You become what you behold, that which you see. Now, this is the ASV, the American Standard Version, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit." As in a mirror, so that's a little bit small, man. Even I can not read that. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are transformed. Say transformed. You're transformed into the same image. When you look into a mirror, does it reflect something else or the same image? A mirror doesn't lie. But that what's in here lies. Because you can see the truth and you can have a different picture in your mind. Isn't it? Because when you look into this reflection, you can love or you can despise what you see. But that's a true reflection of who you are. So as a man thinks, so he is. And that's why it says that as we start beholding Jesus and the glory, we are being transformed into that same image. Come on. Because we are made to live off a reflection. That's who we are. As sons, we reflect. As daughters, we reflect. And you need to behold, come on. And as you behold, you are transformed. So there's a way, there's a key for us how we can fix things. You have the key. What's the key? Come on. Behold. As you behold Jesus, the glory of the Lord, you are being transformed into that same image. If you don't like what you're reflecting, start beholding. And as you start beholding Jesus, you will start reflecting that image. You will start changing that image. We can put some background music. I'll appreciate it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because God is your father. You see, not everyone had a great example of a father. And what happens? Because Abram had a father, but they served idols. I mean, Abram's father built idols. They were selling idols. One of the Talmud or the history of Abraham says that one day, remember when they were building the Tower of Babel, Nimrod. So Abraham's father worked for Nimrod. And one day there was an issue because Abraham was born with a star. And remember, every time like Jesus born with a star, they think that there's someone of great importance or significance. So Nimrod, trying to make a name for himself, sees that there's a star when Abraham is born. And he tries to inquire. Actually, he wants to kill Abraham. So his father goes to Nimrod and says, take care of the shop. Take care of the things where we have our idols and sell. But God had a purpose and a calling with Abraham. So Abraham is fed up with all these idols. And he goes and he takes the sticks and he beats all of them into pieces. And the largest idol, he puts the stick in those one's hand. When his father comes back and says, oh, they had a fight and the big one won. All right, that's what he tells his father. And actually he's just making a mockery, saying these things doesn't mean anything. It's just idols. And God calls Abraham out of his place where he is, and he says, follow me to the place that I want to give to you. So, do you think that was a good or a bad example as a father? That wasn't a good example, that was a bad example. And God calls and says, I will be a father to you. And later on, he's called a friend of God. We sang it this morning. But you see, how many times in your life do you have this excuse that says, because of my father, I'm just like him. Abram could have said, because of my father, but he was fathered by God, and God gave him a new identity. God gave him the real reflection, the real mirroring of what a father should be. And he became the father of us all. The father of faith, come on. So don't use that as an example anymore from because of my father. Because God can be a father to you. There's other men around your life, come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That people say fathers don't mind always, or they don't matter always. But those guys need to change their philosophy, because fathers matter so much. They're so important, especially for boys. Because us boys, we need to reflect off of something. That's how we are made. You are made precious, and you had your day. But this morning, we say that we need to reflect off of something. And why? It's so that we can know who we are. But because we don't have a reflection, we're confused. We don't know who we are. We struggle to find identity. We struggle to understand where we're going. Because now you need to navigate through life and here or elsewhere, wherever. But there needs to be a mirror image of a father to take you forward and not be dysfunctional. And that's important to understand. And that's why there's often so many of us that's dysfunctional, because there's no image in the mirror. Or, again, what's closest to the mirror, you're going to take on that image because of the absence of a father. Now, I know that there's different families. We put together differently. Your circumstances may differ, and maybe your child's father is not a good husband, but that doesn't make him not a good father. You hear me? He can be a good father. That just as being a good mother doesn't always make you a good wife, isn't it? We want both. We want both to be a great husband and a father, isn't it? We want to be good at both of them, but some are good at one of them and some are good at none of them. That's what we try. But that doesn't take away. We need examples of men of God who can stand in the gap. Come on, of course, we need a reflection of fathers to anchor us. We need to know who we are. Takes me back to that image of Mufasa and Lion King and Simba. Where he had to start, when Rafiki touches the water, he starts seeing Mufasa, isn't it? And then that image comes up, a reflection of his father, and the words echo, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Because he needed a reflection of a father to give him identity and to tell him who he is and where he needs to go, where he comes from and where he needs to go, that guides you as you are going. Come on. Being a father has something to do with your ability to have relationship with your children, and your child can start to reflect and depend, grow, develop, understand themselves in the light of all those unique nuances that you bring to his life. What we're busy with is not duplicating mama, we're duplicating fatherhood, manhood. That's what we duplicate, come on. But the problem is if you didn't have, let me use that example, if there was an absent father, or your mother was too strong or whatever, and that was what you see in the mirror, what's going to happen? If there was no father, or let's say the only father you saw was a woman, what's going to happen? One day you will go and you marry a woman, but now both of you are trying to give that child the same thing, because you can only give that what you have. Am I too deep this morning? You can only give that what you have. And if you didn't have fatherhood, it's hard to give what you didn't get. But God wants to heal and touch you this morning. I want to say this, and we're going to start ending off, that today's Father's Day. And if you're fatherless, don't give up on yourself. Don't give up because it's complicated. Come on. Don't give up. I want to say to the mothers, don't give up. Because the father's story is conflicted or complicated. Don't give up. I want to say to the sons, now it can't be your son because they're all away, but if you're a son, maybe you're in a place where you're angry at your father. I want to tell you, you're actually not angry, you are hurt. You are not angry, you're hurt. Become strong enough to go and face that hurt and actually find out how your father is broken. Hear this. Because wherever you are broken, he's broken close to it too. He's broken close to it too. And you will never understand yourself if you cannot understand your father. Because it's a reflection. That's what's legacy. That's fatherhood is legacy. It's because of, that's what legacy is. You are the legacy of fatherhood. Is some of his secrets and things that lies in the cells of your skin and some of the beauty that's reflected in your eyes and all this, you carry that. Come on. The strength that he's got, you carry that. You have that. And you need to find him and understand him. And you need to realize this, that you will never be able to forgive yourself and accept yourself if you cannot forgive him. The flaws in him. Because this is the legacy of fatherhood. That's what's carried over. And instead of that, what hurts and feels like a curse needs to become something that you're proud of and say, hey, I look like my father. I sound like my father. I can do like my father. I can overcome like my father. So many of you trying to be actually the opposite of who your father is. How many of us men cry maybe and say, I don't want to be anything like my father. But you see, the harder you try not to be, the more you realize you're just like him. Because you're a mirroring of that. But there's something that you can start beholding. You thought maybe I'm going to give a real beautiful message this morning, but I said I'm going to go beyond all the camouflage, isn't it? We're going to deal with you. There we, maybe at night you cry out and you say, you know, I don't know, how am I going to make this? I don't know, you know, if anybody understands the pain that you feel. Is there help? You pour so much of your life into others that you feel that, can you even bear the loads that you carry? Because you worry about them. Psalm 103 says this, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. It flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and its place knows no home on it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. I want to tell you that God has got compassion over you. And maybe your example of your legacy and your image of a father was skewed, was hurt. That God has compassion over you as a father shows compassion, and let him be a father. Remember, as you behold, you are transformed. That's the thing. God wants to heal something and let you behold something new so that you can start changing the legacy. That what you don't like from generation to generation, that what you despise, that what's dysfunctional. God says, behold the one who is perfect, because none of us are, but Jesus, Son of God, example, the perfect example of the Father. Behold him. Psalm 68 promises this. He says, he's a father to the fatherless and a protector of the widow is God in his holy habitation. Come on, he's a father even to the fatherless. I want to challenge you with this. 1 Timothy 4:8. I wanted to put on a nice jacket this morning, and I don't know why the soap that she's using makes it shrink. But I had Vaughn there this morning, and his producer is like, do you have a different one? It looks a bit small. I'm like, try another one, and the same problem. And I got to this scripture that says 1 Timothy 4:8. For why, while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, and it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Although we do great stuff with our kids and, you know, whatever it can be, it says this, godliness is of value in every way. Something that you can give, that you can mirror, that nothing can replace. It's a godliness that you can carry. But you get that godliness only by beholding the Son, the image of God, of the glory. And by that, you will be transformed into that same image. Come on, let's pray. Father, we are here this morning, and wherever we find ourselves, Lord, and maybe our hearts are vulnerable, maybe our hearts are hurt and angry, maybe our hearts are glad and honoring our fathers for what they've done. We all come from different backgrounds and scenarios, but this morning we come to say, we fix our eyes and behold the one who is perfect. And as Jesus was the Son of God, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We come this morning to say, let us every day behold Jesus more and more. Because godliness is of value in every way. For this life and the life thereafter. So we come this morning to make a choice in our hearts to say, we will let go of hurts and that what brings dysfunction and all these things. And we'll start making a commitment to behold in the image or the mirror the likeness of God. And by that being transformed into that same image. So that we can represent that what we say we are legends, carry a legacy. So Father, that we can come and give something to our generations to come of godliness and seeing you and glorified. Be glorified in us and through us. Make use of our lives. Father, heal even every heart. Heal every hurt. You said you're a father to the fatherless. And I want to speak to everyone who feels like an orphan this morning. That God's wide open. There's an invitation to say, come as you are. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Come to Him. So Father, thank you, Lord, that you heal our hearts. That you put a song in our heart. That you put joy in our hearts. And that Father, every task you've made us strong. You've made us big. You made us able to have victory and to overcome. You gave us strength. So, Father, I declare over each one here, young men, those who still need to get married, I declare over them that, fathers, they will be great examples of, that they will be magnificent fathers, that they will be godly, and that they will live in a standard of godliness which brings value and worth to the sons and the daughters. We give you honor and praise. We say thank you that you are a father to us. We receive that, and we receive as you fill us up. Come on, just feel how God fills you up. There's a fullness, because one of the words of father means supply, and that as a father, he supplies everything to you. So Father, we say thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. We're formed to function. Let's be church.